Motherland calls. Hit the call. Radio Africana is the call.
Welcome to the Road of Correction Show with your host, Ricardo Bezalel.
Now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Darkness to the kingdom of light. You shall live by Christ's resurrection power and his true gospel.
Welcome to the Road of Correction program with your host here, Ricardo Bezalel, and that song which has just finished playing there is called There Is Therefore Now No Condemnation to Those Who Are in Christ Jesus, and it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz who sang that one for us. In our discussion today, we're going to focus on the book of Romans chapter 8 and then jump on to other scripture narratives there to understand what does the scripture mean when it says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law may be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh, or that walk after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now we can continue reading this because it's a very exciting chapter, Romans chapter 8, but we've got only very limited time to discuss about it. So what is the scripture telling us about what's going on here? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation, to mean that condemnation was already there until this point where it says there is therefore now no condemnation, which means something else has happened for that condemnation which was there by default to stop being there. What is that which happened to stop the condemnation from being there and from being continuous as it had been before the intervention of this whatever it was, which says that there is now therefore now no condemnation today to them which are in Christ Jesus? What has happened? And even before we talk about what has happened, we need to know, what was the condemnation about? Why was there any condemnation at all? The condemnation came because the first man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, he was given instructions by God that in Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, that he shall not eat of the tree, right, of the knowledge of good and evil, which was in the garden of Eden. But the devil came and persuaded the couple, which was Adam and his wife, to partake or to eat from that tree, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, the doctrine or the narrative of the devil is what they followed instead of following the narrative of God. God said, do not do this. The devil came and said, no, it's okay, you can do it. And by so doing, Adam acquired another father. God was the father of Adam, but when Adam listened to the doctrine of the devil, he was in a way adopted by the devil, and he became a child of the devil, and which means then his relationship with God was no longer the pure spiritual relationship which was there before the eating of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they ate in the book of Genesis chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 6, that when they ate, they saw that they were naked, and they sawed fig leaves together. So having seen that the tree was good for making one wise, but then what turned out to be what they thought was going to be did not turn out to be that which they thought was going to be. In other words, they were deceived. But it was not Adam who was deceived, because Adam only ate of the tree from the devil because his wife had already eaten. Adam had to eat of that because he was playing the drama of the New Testament church, which would then be such that when Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus comes to the earth, he finds the New Testament already in sin, and then he sacrifices himself in order to rescue the New Testament church from being taken to hell by the devil. So when Adam ate of that tree, when he saw that his wife had eaten of the tree of death, he knew that his wife had died. And in order for him to play the drama of salvation, he also partook, or he also ate of that tree, so that he could also so identify with his wife, so that when the salvation comes, it would come and rescue both of them who were dead in sin. And because of that, that is why the scripture says that Adam was not deceived, because he made a conscious decision to identify with his wife. Jesus, at the same level, he came to the earth and acquired a body. You know, Mary did not give birth to Jesus, to Christ. Mary did not give birth to the Son of God. Mary gave birth to the house which the Son of God lived in during his earth pilgrimage, when he was walking on the earth. That is what Mary gave birth to. She gave birth to the body
which contained Jesus. So a human being is a spirit who lives in a body and has got a soul. So the spirit of Christ, the spirit man, is the one who enters into the body and is born as a human being on the earth. So that is what happened. So Mary did not give birth to the Savior. Mary did not give birth to the Savior. You know that song which says that the Savior was born on Christmas Day. That is not true. That is heretic. It's a heresy to believe that the Savior was born on Christmas Day, because the Savior was not born on Christmas Day. What was born on Christmas Day was the body which became the Lamb of Sacrifice. And the Lamb of Sacrifice, which John, in John chapter 1 verse 29, when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." That one who takes away the sin of the world as a sacrifice is not complete unless he resurrects from the dead. Therefore, Mary did not give birth to the Savior. She gave birth to the body which the Savior used to partake of the sin of humanity. Just like Adam, he took the sin of his wife upon himself. He ate of the tree of death, knowing surely that God had said that you shall not eat of this, because when you eat of it, you are going to die. But Adam ate consciously. He ate deliberately, because he was playing the drama of John chapter 1 verse 29. The sin, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Adam ate of that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because he wanted to take away death from his wife. He couldn't get to the level where his wife was if he had not identified with her, which is why the narrative of the salvation which Jesus brings to the world is so unique, because every other narrative out there says submit to this, submit to that, submit to this, submit to that, do this, do that, and at the end of the day you are left just with fleshly obedience, which is of the flesh, and there is completely nothing of the spirit. So when Adam so identified with his wife that he ate of that tree, and condemnation came upon Adam and his wife, and they were still in the garden. And then God, who does not change, changed his ways of dealing with humanity. So yes, it is true that we serve a God who changes not, and God for sure does not change. But he changes the way which he deals with humanity. He changes the way which he deals with human beings. From generation to generation, thou art God. He doesn't change, but he changes the way in which he interacts with us. But the principles of holiness, the principles of purity, the principles of chastity, the principles of love and charity and things like that, and justice and fairness, those principles of love, they will never change. So God does not change his principles, but he changes the way in which he makes sure that those principles are effected and are brought to fruition. That is what he changes. So in the time of Moses, he had the law of Moses to try and do that. And obviously it didn't work, because it was aimed at the flesh only. But now in the New Testament, he has resurrected his son from the dead. And when Jesus is resurrected from the dead, then this is what we are now reading in Romans chapter 8 on verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. Why is there no more condemnation? There is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. And because he's resurrected from the dead, the condemnation which Adam and his wife gave to humanity way back way then in the Garden of Eden, that condemnation, that death which Adam gave through his so identifying with his wife that they ate of the tree of death, when that death came, that is the condemnation. This is what the Romans chapter 8 verse 1 is talking about. There is therefore now no condemnation. When did the condemnation begin? The condemnation began in the Garden of Eden. And because of that condemnation, All humanity is born spiritually dead and without any knowledge of God, and your spirit man is born without knowledge of what the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, what he did. There is no knowledge of that until you are consciously able to be educated, and then you gain access to the information, to the spiritual information of what Jesus came to do. And when you understand that, then salvation does come to you. There is a procedure unto salvation. You cannot be born into a church. You cannot be born into salvation. You have to make a conscious decision. You have to make a conscious decision. And that decision is not your decision. It is a decision based on the narrative that God saves us by grace. It is by grace that God gives you a hunger within your spirit man to be able to so identify with him, to see what he has done, and get your heart pricked so that you can see, men and brethren, what can I do in order for me to be saved? Because then you would have seen the narrative of what the Messiah did. You have seen the narrative of what the first human being did, and you've seen the problem of. So when people say Jesus is the answer, the issue is what? But what is the question? Well, the question is that Adam and his wife, they died in the Garden of Eden. They were evicted from the Garden of Eden. They died spiritually in the Garden of Eden. They were evicted from the Garden of Eden, spiritually dead. And then they went out of the Garden of Eden. And when they were out of the Garden of Eden, it was then that they started having children. And when they started having children, they started having children while spiritually dead. And they gave birth to children who were also spiritually dead. And it is that condemnation. That is the first death. That is the condemnation which Romans chapter 8 verse 1 is talking about. And when we saying that this condemnation is now done away with, not because of Christmas. No, it is not done away because of Christmas. We know you love your Christmas. You love to the festivities. You're loving the get together. But you got to have the knowledge that this Christmas, whatever they are talking about, has got nothing to do with the salvation which actually saves you and gives you the citizenship of heaven, so that you are free from the condemnation which Adam gave you before you were born. Which is why the book of John chapter 3 on verse 16, it talks about that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then verse 17 of John chapter 3 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, the question is, at what point did this happen? At what point did Jesus become the Savior? At what point did John 3 verse 16 get fulfilled? The John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Should not perish. So when did this take effect? At what point did it start to happen? At what point? At what point is what we find in the book of Romans chapter 8, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So you got to be in Christ Jesus for you not to perish, for you not to be under condemnation. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means that he is resurrected from the dead. And because he is resurrected from the dead, it then means that whosoever believes in that resurrection is then given that resurrection power. So it is a war between two states, between two conditions. The condition of Adam, who was dead in the Garden of Eden, and the condition of the last Adam, which is Jesus Christ, who resurrected back to life and defeated hell, death, and the grave, and came back to life. So those are the two states. You got the state of Adam, who was dead in the Garden of Eden, which every human being is born under. You, my friend, whatever you believe in, you were born spiritually dead in the death of Adam. And it is until there is a transition, it is until there is a reformation, it is until there is a conversion, it is until there is a new beginning, it is not until there is a new birth, which has to happen to you, that you will experience the transition or the moving over or the changing tracks or the moving from death to life, from darkness to light. You can only experience that when there is the resurrection of Jesus Christ to talk about. If there is no resurrection, which is what the problem with Christmas is, the problem with Christmas is that it talks about a savior who is born in the manger and he becomes the savior. And it's talking about that Jesus was born a savior. No, he wasn't born a savior. He was born a sacrifice. And it was only through his resurrection from the dead that he became a savior. So to believe that the savior was born on Christmas Day is to be deluded, because the savior was not born on Christmas Day. The book of Romans chapter 1 on verse 4, it talks about that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power. Romans chapter 1 verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, not by being born in the manger. So by being born in the manger, he wasn't born the Son of God. He had to live in the Old Testament times, and he had to be circumcised, and he had to follow the law of Moses during his time. And follow the law of Moses, for example, he was circumcised, and he was dedicated at the temple. And at 12 years, he went to Jerusalem for his bar mitzvah. All those things were of the law of Moses. So he had to fulfill those kind of things whilst under the law of Moses. So Jesus was born in the Old Testament, and he lived in the Old Testament, and he died in the Old Testament. The New Testament only began when he rose again from the dead. As he says in the book of Hebrews, that the testament is not effective until men are dead. So a testimony is not effective until men are dead. So and the will, anybody who writes a will, it is not effective until that person has died. So Jesus cannot have begun the New Testament whilst he was still alive. It had to be that he dies. But then this is where the devil missed it, because he wasn't aware that they were crucifying the Lord of glory. Because had they known it, as it's in the book of Corinthians, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Because why? Because had the devil known that Jesus was going to defeat death even after being killed, then he would not have killed him. He would not have gloated when he entered into Judas and got him to be crucified, and he thought he had won the victory, not knowing that the one who is defeated by being crucified is actually the one who is going to win the war, because it wasn't over until death itself had been defeated. So Jesus used the power of death in order to defeat the devil, who had the power of death. That's what the scripture says in Hebrews. It says that he used the power of death to defeat him who had the power of death, which is the devil. So Jesus had to die. It was by design. It was by plan. It was by choreography. It was by predestination. It was by pre-plan. It was by already laid down in ahead of time. It was already laid down ahead of time that Jesus was going to be crucified on that cross, which is why God allowed the Roman Empire to bring the cross of the crucifixion method to the land of Judea. At that time, Judea did not have the cross. It was the Romans who brought the cross into Judea. And when they brought the cross into Judea, which is present day Israel, they did not know that they were actually bringing the place of sacrifice upon which the Son of God, who was in that time cocooned in the bodily fleshly body which Mary gave birth to, was going to be crucified on. So the narrative of why is it that there is therefore now no condemnation, it is found in the explanation that when you have believed why Jesus had to die, and you have believed by grace of God why he had to rise again from the dead, and you have believed by the grace of God that his resurrection from the dead is what then confirms him to be the Son of God. And because he is the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, it follows then that whoever believes in him correctly, that is, because there are people who believe in Jesus in the wrong way. The scripture says in the book of John chapter 4, in the book of John chapter 4, Jesus meets the woman of Samaria at the well, and when he does, he says a lot of things unto her. And but what we want to talk about is when he says that the hour cometh, and we find this in verse 23 of John chapter 4. It says that let's just verse 22. You worship, you know not what, he's responding to the Samaritan woman, and is telling her that you don't even know what you worship, which is what is happening today, isn't it? There are so many people who say we worship, but they really don't know what the word worship means, or what it encompasses, or what is the posture and the understanding of what worship is. They've got no clue, they've got no idea of what it is. It says, but the hour cometh, 22, you worship, you know not what, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And that word Jews, it is in the New Testament church, we find the explanation of what the Jew is in Romans chapter 2 on verse 28, where he says a Jew is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but who is one inwardly. For let's read it and understand what it is actually talking about, because you might think that what the Lord said at that time does not make sense anymore now, because we are in the New Testament. But he says that therefore for circumcision is we need to read from verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, circumcision profiteth if thou keepest the law. if thou keepest the law, by circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, now for verse 28, for he is a Jew which is one outward, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29 of Romans chapter 2 says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So you see, these are the type of people who have got no more condemnation on them, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit, as he says in Romans, the same book, in Romans chapter 8 on verse 1. So that is the understanding of what it means to be having no condemnation. So when we go back to John chapter 4, where Jesus is talking to the woman of Samaria, he says the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers of God shall worship the Father, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. The hour cometh now when the true worshippers, it doesn't say the hour cometh when the true praisers, or the true praisers of God. He says the true worshippers of God. There is a difference between praise And there's the difference between praise and worship. Praise and worship are two different things. You can praise something you have got not even an idea what it is. You know, they praise the footballer for scoring a goal. They praise the runner for winning a race and things like that. They don't even know their name or their birthday. But worship is more intimate. More worship is submission to an entity which you understand. So today's church is mostly made up of people who praise God, but they don't worship Him. And those are such the people who are going to be celebrating Christmas who don't know that the Savior was not born on Christmas Day. What is your story, my friend?
And we're going to go to another song. And again, it's the sounds of Ruth and Boaz singing for us a song called We Cry Out, Abba, Father. Why? Because the spirit of adoption in Christ Jesus has made us the children of God.
The Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear,
but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father.
Indeed, Abba Father, we call from the inner heart. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him,
that we may be also glorified.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man see, why did he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And the will of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For in Christ we live and move and have our being.
In our discussion today, we are discussing the narrative of Romans chapter 8 from verse 1, which talks about that there is therefore now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we've been saying that this there is need to understand, because faith is a faith-based economy. Salvation is a faith-based economy. Salvation is a faith-based economy. If you don't understand it, if you don't know it, it means you don't have it. And it is as simple as that. So we are saying that Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 are very, very complicated, because they appear very simple, but they are very complicated, those two verses, because it is easy for anybody and everybody who has got a Bible in their house and probably was dunked in water somewhere, thinks that they were baptized and that they are saved in quotes, to declare that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It is much easier to just do that off the cuff, from the top of your head, without actually an understanding of what does it actually mean. How do you become in Christ Jesus? And what is this condemnation? When did it begin? How does it stop? What is this condemnation? So we have been narrating what this condemnation is, that it started in the Garden of Eden, but it stops when the resurrection of Christ has happened, when he's resurrected from the dead to become the Son of God. And then because he's become the Son of God, then he reverses what the first Adam did. The Adam of the Garden of Eden brought death and separation from God to humanity. And by him disobeying his spiritual father, Adam in the Garden of Eden was adopted by the devil and became a child of the devil. And in order for God to reverse that, he also had to do it by reverse adoption. And because that reverse adoption only works according to the narrative of Genesis chapter 3, chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus also had to come to this world. He had to come to this world and follow the same footsteps which Adam followed, and die the same kind of death which Adam died. And then when he is resurrected from the dead, then he becomes the first begotten from the dead. He becomes the begotten Son of God, who can then produce after his own kind, as he says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, that every fruit tree which has got seed in itself and produces after its own kind. Jesus is that fruit tree with the seed within himself, who produces after his own kind. So he is the first born from the dead, so that we, the true believers in Christ, can also become sons of God by virtue of reverse adoption, by virtue of adoption. So we have read from Romans chapter 8, and it's talking about that there is therefore now no condemnation. How did God make sure that there is therefore now no condemnation, when the condemnation had already been there? Because Adam he had already eaten of the tree of death way before Jesus came to the world. So how did Jesus stop this condemnation? We said he stopped this condemnation by rising from the dead. And when he rose again from the dead, he made it possible for the condemnation to be reversed, for the condemnation to be cancelled. And because he did that, we know then for sure that when Adam ate of that tree, his eyes, their eyes were opened, and they saw that they were naked, which means the garment of salvation, the garment of righteousness, the garment, spiritual garment of protection, which was upon them when before they ate of the doctrine of the devil, was removed when they ate of the doctrine of the devil. And because that was removed, they became aware that they were naked, and that nakedness is what every human being is born with. He is spiritually naked, with no salvation from God at all, which is why this no condemnation only happens
when you have got the spirit which raised Christ from the dead indwelling your human spirit, and there is a correct procedure unto that. We read before from the book of John chapter 4, where he says that the hour cometh and now is that the true worshippers of God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So without truth, you cannot actually worship God. And there is no truth in the statement which says that the Savior was born on Christmas Day. There is no truth in the statement which says that the Savior was born in the manger. There is no truth that Mary gave birth to the Savior. She didn't do that. She only gave birth to the house which Jesus, who was at that time the Son of Man, who was at that time destined to be the Lamb of Sacrifice, who was at that time living in the Old Testament dispensation, had got to have a house in which he was going to use that blood which was contained in that house, his body, to replace the blood of animals and goats and birds, bulls and also sorts of creatures which which Moses and everybody of the Old Testament was using to sacrifice. So the sacrifice of animals stopped when Jesus was sacrificed, because the blood of animals was not a fair exchange rate. It was the blood of animals, whereas it was Adam who had died. And therefore, whatever Moses and the Old Testament order and the Levitical priesthood were doing was false. It was false. It was false because it represented a fake narrative, which replaced the blood of a human being with the blood of an animal, which replaced the life of a human being with the life of an animal, which is why there was no salvation in the Old Testament, which is why there was no eternal life in the Old Testament, which is why there was nobody who could say that they were destined for heaven. There was no promise of heaven in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was no promise of such things, because the Old Testament was devoid and void of anything to do with salvation, because it was a narrative of fake values. It was fake values. Blood of animals replacing the blood of human beings. There is no way that can work. So this explains why Jesus had to be born of a virgin, because he did not want to follow or to share in the bloodline of Adam. The bloodline of Adam had spiritual death contained in it, which means that Jesus been born from the sperm which came from Joseph, then it means that Jesus was going to be born with the death of Adam indwelling his blood, indwelling his body already. But then the devil would have laid claim to say, oh, you know, this one is the son of Adam whom I adopted, and therefore he belongs to me. So he cannot be a sacrifice because I own him already. You see now? So Jesus had to be born of a virgin so that he bypasses the blood of the bloodline of Adam and comes to the earth with a new bloodline. A new bloodline which did not have the curse of Adam, which did not have the sin of Adam, which did not have the death of Adam, which did not have the adoption which Adam was adopted by the devil. So Jesus had to bring forth a completely new narrative, which is why to celebrate Christmas and say that the Savior was born on Christmas Day is such a heretic thing to do, that if you know what it is that you are doing, you should actually not be celebrating Christmas, because there is no salvation in that thing which they celebrate. Instead, Christmas was already there in the book of Jeremiah. It was there in the book of Daniel. In Babylon, they were already celebrating the 25th of December in them old days, way before Jesus even was born in the manger. So to celebrate Christmas and claim that you are actually celebrating the birth of Jesus is to lie to yourself. You are basically telling yourself lies. And because you're telling yourself lies, you don't qualify then to what John chapter 4 was talking about, that the hour cometh and even now is that the true worshippers of God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Was Jesus the Savior born on Christmas Day? No, it's a lie. So how can you say that you worship God in spirit and in truth? You already got a lie in the narrative of that which you believe. So Adam was adopted by the devil. Adam was born again when the devil adopted him. So when Jesus came, he had to use that same death which Adam died in order for him to defeat him that was holding Adam hostage. And through the death of Jesus, he had to defeat the devil. And he did that because he did not have the death of Adam in his blood. So when Jesus died on that cross, he was a different type of creature. And the devil could not hold him in hell because there was nothing of Adam in Jesus, because he had been born of a virgin. This is where the secret is. This is where the secret of his resurrection is. He came back from the dead because he wasn't magnetized by the powers of the devil. The devil tried to keep him in hell, but he couldn't do that because there was nothing of the devil in the blood of Jesus. There was nothing of the devil in the blood of Jesus. There was nothing of the devil in the life of Jesus. And because of that, he could not be kept in hell. And this is why he defeated hell, death, and the grave. And he says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am he that was dead, but I am alive again. I am alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of hell and of death. Yes, I've got the keys of hell, of death, and I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. How could he make such a declaration? Because the devil tried to keep him in hell, but he couldn't, because he did not have anything at all from Adam. And this is why he was successful in being taken to hell and then defeating the devil in hell, because the devil could not magnetize him and keep him in hell, chained and bound in hell, because there was nothing for the devil to hold. The devil only holds on to something or to someone if he can stick an accusation upon that particular individual. So in your own life, you got to know that because of the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus rose again from the dead, and if you are in Christ Jesus, the scripture says there is therefore now no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which means that those things which happened in your bloodline, those things which happened in your family tree, those things which happened in your clan, those things which happened in your tribe, those things which happened according to the name of your patriarch, those things which happened to you because of your father did some things when he was growing up, or he invited some cases upon himself when he was growing up, whatever he did, those things, whatever your mother did before you were born, whatever your father did before you were born, those things, if you are in Christ Jesus, those things have got no claim upon your life, because in Christ Jesus there is newness of life. In Christ Jesus there is an adoption which happens, because the narrative is that Adam, our first parent, was the one who brought the devil access to human life. And because of that, every human being is born already being accessible to the devil, being under the sway of the devil. And when you are now in the New Testament order, which is the resurrection of Christ, which is the New Testament order, which is free from the laws of Moses. Yeah. So if you are in a church which makes you pay the tithe, it means you are not really saved, because there is no truth in what you are doing. There is no truth in what you are doing. That truth is not there. That truth is missing from your life, because you believe that by mixing the Old Testament order of the Levitical priesthood, of tithing and keeping the convocations of Israel and keeping the Sabbath and doing all these narratives of the Old Testament and trying to live by the Old Testament, by the Ten Commandments and things like that, you think that you're gonna please God by that. The Old Testament church tried that and they failed. And there is no way. Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council, they say that Moses is there are those who read Moses every Sabbath, but we should not burden the New Testament church to try to say follow the law of Moses, because even our forefathers could not do that. So why are you being compelled to do that today? There is no truth in you. You are not in the New Testament. If you are still paying the tithe, you are not part of the New Testament, even though you claim that you believe in the resurrection of Christ. You are still following Moses, and therefore you cannot say that I worship God in spirit and in truth, because Moses was a lie. He was using fake narratives of blood of animals when what sinned was a human being. Life of animals when what sinned was a human being. So the narrative of Moses is fake. The narrative of Moses has got no salvation in it. It is only when the Messiah, the Son of God, is confirmed to be the Son of God by the resurrection, begin to have the New Testament. And the New Testament narrative is that which it comes by the spirit of adoption. Remember, we said that Adam died in the Old Testament by being adopted. He died to God by allowing himself to be adopted by the devil. And therefore, when God comes in with his narrative of salvation in the New Testament church, he does that by reverse adoption. And we find this in the same Romans chapter 8. On verse 1, he talks about this. Therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So you see, there is a spirit of life. There is the law of the Spirit of life. What is this law? This law is in verse 16 of the same chapter. It says that from verse 15, actually verse 14 maybe, he says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You see, like Adam did, he received a spirit of bondage to fear, and they ate, after they ate of that tree, what happened? They became afraid and ran away from God. So we don't have that type of spirit. We don't receive that type of spirit because we are born with it anyway. But now we don't receive that type of spirit. But what has happened? We've received. You receive something which has been given to you. You receive something which is being given to you. So we are saved by grace. So he says that, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You see now. So the adoption which God gives us is to reverse what Adam did in the garden. Adam was adopted by the devil and became a child of the devil. And when Jesus rises from the dead, he becomes the last Adam. And he wants people to be adopted back to God from the devil. And the scripture says, for you have not received, in Romans 8:15, says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see now. So when you become a child of God by adoption, when God has adopted you, and you got to know how that narrative goes. How did God adopt you? How does the adoption actually work? If you cannot explain it, then you don't have it. It doesn't matter you go to church and you've been going to church all your life. If you cannot explain how God adopts people from the power of the devil to from the power of Satan to God, how does he do it? If you cannot explain it, it means you don't know it. And if you don't know it, it means you don't have it. And if you don't have it, it means you're not saved. It's as simple as that. And you're still under the condemnation, which it's only taken away when you are in Christ Jesus, you see. So the book of Acts chapter 26 on verse 18, this is Jesus giving a mandate to Apostle Paul and telling him how salvation was going to come to the world, how that was going to happen. And he says that, so the spirit of adoption, it comes, he says that, verse 18 says, to open their eyes, to open the eyes of the Gentiles, of the people, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. You see, when they ate of the tree, the scripture says in Genesis chapter 3 that they saw that the tree was good to make it was good was desirable for food and to make one wise. They saw that with their eyes, but then they became blind to what God was about. So that blindness is taken away when you become a child of God. So that is why the scripture says to open their eyes, because Adam's eyes were opened to the things of the devil. Now you got to also to have your eyes opened to the things of God, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. You see, when Adam was evicted from the Garden of Eden, he went out of the garden, which means he went out into an undefined territory where the devil was in charge, who is the prince of darkness. And there is always the things which are not defined there. And the devil is the power that rules in that entity. So the scripture says that to turn them from darkness to light, which is why Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. He was coming to bring that light. And from the power of Satan unto God. You see, it says from the power of Satan unto God. It doesn't say from the power of Satan to the power of God. No, because they need to be putting God and Satan at the same level. They are not at the same level. Satan was an angel, an archangel, a cherub, a worshipping angel. So he's not at the same level as God. He's now the God of this world. It was a promotion for him when he fell from heaven. He became a God of this world. But he's not at the same level as God, the God of heaven and earth, the creator of everything. So he doesn't. So God is almighty. So it just says, from the power of Satan unto God, that you may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So you see now, this is how the adoption happens, and this is how there is therefore now condemnation does happen, because of the resurrection from the dead. And because Jesus rose again from the dead, it says that in 1 Corinthians 15 on verse 20, it says that verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15 then says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You see, and since by man, which means Adam, came death, by man, Jesus, the resurrected Savior, also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, you see, we died in Adam, but even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see now, this is why there is therefore now no condemnation, because in Christ shall then everybody who is in Christ be made alive, and therefore become no more under any condemnation. The condemnation is taken away in the resurrection of Christ Jesus, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus is the one which makes him to be the Son of God, which is declares him to be the Son of God. And because he is the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, there is therefore now no condemnation, because we've been chosen unto salvation. We've been given the gift of salvation by the grace of God, which is why Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his glory, and of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power to us who believe, according to the working of the mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So you can see now, my friend, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Everything is centered on the resurrection of Christ, and that resurrection of Christ is what gives us the freedom. Which is why Romans chapter 6 on verse 4 talks about, it says, therefore we are buried with him, Jesus, by baptism unto death. So you see, the one Mary gave birth to was the one who was buried unto death. That was the lamb of sacrifice to take away the sin of the world. But he wasn't the savior at that time. So we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So you see now, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, not was born in the manger, by the glory of the Father. No, but was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So the resurrection from the dead, Jesus rising from the dead, covers everything that we need to be alive spiritually. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus rose again from the dead. And when Jesus has risen again from the dead, we who believe correctly and not mix him up with the Old Testament narratives, we are baptized in him unto death. And as just as Christ was raised up from the dead, so when we rise from the water of that baptism, we come out alive. And when we get prayed for to have the power of the Holy Spirit is the one who then confirms us as the spirit of adoption. And we become children of God by virtue of adoption. And because of that adoption, we are children of God, and the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and children then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Therefore there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in him? We would very much like to hear from you. Please do get in touch with us on UK number 07460 670044. Send text, WhatsApp, Telegram, or email us on roadofcorrection.tv@gmail.com.
On Radio Africana.
Basically, it gets me into the mood of whatever I'm doing.
On Radio Africana.
The best radio station ever.
Yo, I heard about that.